What we discover is that just because you don't feel an emotion does not mean that the emotion is not active in your brain. This is super scary, okay? Emotions are sources of information, and emotions are sources of motivation. The problem with emotions is that they're not analytical. They're not intelligent. They don't use the reasoning parts of our brain. They just come up with certain ideas, and that's what we're gonna do. This is fundamentally why we have evolved emotions. So the basic problem that most men have is that since we are numbing ourselves from our emotions are programming us in ways that are maladaptive. The first step to processing an emotion is when you feel an emotion, ask yourself one question, which is, what is this emotion trying to tell me? What I really want to do is talk to y'all today about emotional processing. First thing is, emotional processing is not like specific to men, right? So we all have brains. Processing emotions is important for everybody. But when we sort of talk about like how men are raised and how men are socialized, we sort of have this idea that men, like, they don't know how to express their emotions. They bottle up their emotions. They avoid emotions. Things like that. If we look at one of the reasons why men are probably more prone to addictions is because we use substances and behaviors to manage our emotions. And then the other thing is, like, all throughout my psychiatric training, I never had a class in like what is processing an emotion. Like, literally, if I feel an emotion, what is the difference between it being processed and it not being processed? And if it's important to process it, how do you do that? And there's a really common belief about processing emotions, which is that talking about your emotions is processing them. But that's not technically true. And I've noticed that especially for men, simply talking about your emotions, and I've had plenty of patients who will come in and be like, or not even come in, but they'll ask me, right? So when I have friends who are like, oh, you know, I'm struggling with this thing, I'm going through a divorce, and I'll be like, you should go see a therapist. And they're like, I don't understand how talking about my problems will actually help me. And my favorite example of this is when I sort of learned this, is when I was a third year resident, I had a patient and I was learning how to do psychotherapy. Okay. So I'd maybe done, I want to say, about 200 hours of psychotherapy at that point, which is not very much. So I'd had 5 patients and I'd worked with them for about a year. And this guy would come in and he was depressed. So he would come in every week and he would talk about why he was depressed. He'd be like, you know, oh, this thing happened at work. And like, I got written up because I snapped at my coworkers. My coworkers say I'm like hard to be around, and that's why I'm depressed. And I'd be like, oh man, that must be hard for you. How does that make you feel? Like, I would say those two fucking things over and over and over again. How does that make you feel? And that must be hard for you. And then next week he comes in and he's like, you know, oh, I went on this date and this girl didn't seem too interested in me. He was in his 40s, by the way. And so that's why I'm depressed. And I'd be like, oh my God, that must be hard for you. How does that make you feel? So we did this for about 6 to 8 months. And then one day the guy comes in and I'm like, is this helping you? And he's like, what do you mean? Is it helping me? Isn't this what we're supposed to do? Isn't therapy me coming in and talking to you about why I'm depressed? Like, isn't that what I'm supposed to do? And I was like, I think so. And I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I sit here and I listen compassionately to you. And then I ask you how you feel, but I was like, is it helping? And he's like, I don't know. I was like, okay, look, you showed up here 6 months ago. Are you any better than you were 6 months ago? And he's like, well, not really. And I was like, so what the hell are we doing? And so it turns out that what we weren't really doing is processing emotions. Now, let's understand what that means, okay? So if you're a dude, chances are, and a lot of women fall into this category as well, your experience of emotion is as follows. So you're going through life and you have an emotion, and then like you feel something, right? So man feels sad, and then sadness there for a little bit, and then man do something, make sadness go away, and then it's done. And then tomorrow rolls around. Hopefully I don't feel sad. But if I do feel sad, maybe man do something like drink alcohol, man play video game, man go to gym. Men just have emotions, and then our goal in life is to get rid of the emotion, right? When we feel bad, what are we supposed to do with it? We're supposed to make it go away, especially if it's a bad emotion. Even good emotions are things that we try to make go away, because if I feel like really, really in love, or if I feel an outpouring of love for my best friend who's also a dude, that is an emotion that I will run away from. If I feel like I'm falling in love, that can be scary and I'm running away from it. So for most men, emotions, like, they kind of arise and they sort of disappear after that. We try very hard to make them disappear. Now, the problem is that they don't actually disappear. Okay, that's the first problem. So if you look at, like, studies on trauma and dissociation, what we discover is that just because you don't feel an emotion does not mean that the emotion is not active in your brain. This is super scary, okay? So if you're a dude and you feel a lot of a negative emotion, there's a really good chance that you will feel numb afterward, or you will try to make yourself feel numb. You'll drink alcohol, you'll play video games, you'll watch pornography, you'll even go to the gym and just start lifting iron, which is great. I love going to the gym for the sake of your mental health. It really does help, but that doesn't directly deal with the emotion in any way, right? We basically do stuff until our subjective experience of the emotion disappears. And frequently what we do is numbing. Okay, when we have emotions, we have this part of our brain called the amygdala. This is where we feel fear, anxiety. This is our survival center of the brain. And then we also have this thing called the limbic system. So in our brain, we have two kinds of things. We have circuits, which is connections from different anatomical parts of the brain, different chunks of the brain that then connect to each other. So the amygdala will connect to a couple of other regions, and that forms the limbic system. The limbic system is our emotional circuit, okay? So this is where we experience emotions. Now, here's why emotional processing is important. The amygdala and the limbic system are very, very close to this part of our brain called the hippocampus. The hippocampus is where we have learning and memory, okay? So here's the problem. When we have an emotion, it's very tightly connected to our learning and memory. So if you look at the most powerful things that you learn from, emotions are at the top of the list. So I'll give you all a simple example. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a situation where you rage, you uninstall a video game, and you're like, I'm never playing this video game again. I'm so angry. This video game is a waste of time. I'm uninstalling, right? So you're engaging in a behavior. You've learned that this video game really messes you up, so you're never going to do it again. Or you do something like you go to the gym, you have an embarrassing experience at the gym, you have a negative experience in your therapy intake, something hurts, and you vow to yourself, I'm never going to do it again. So our behavior is heavily shaped. And you can say that you learned, right? This is like, where is this motivation coming from? It's because you learned that this is a bad experience. You have a negative emotion, and so you learn a lot from your negative experiences. The really scary thing is when we numb our emotions, this circuit does not shut off. In fact, the opposite. When we numb our emotions, just because we have the dorsomedial prefrontal cortex that's going and suppressing this, this circuit is still active. This is what's really scary. See, most men that I work with struggle with getting themselves to do something. So if you look at, like, what most men struggle with, like, they live lives of avoidance. Oh, I don't want to do this because I have to try to get myself to do this. I have to get myself to ask this person out because I'm afraid of rejection. I have to get myself to go to the gym because I don't feel like going to the gym. So this is why dudes are obsessed, right? So if you look at the podcast bro circuit, which I love, right? I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. Men are trying to help other dudes, okay? It's all about building habits and building willpower. And, like, if I build habits, then it's easy, right? If I build willpower, then I can overcome my underlying tendencies. But here's the key thing that I want y'all to think about. Where did those tendencies come from in the first place? Why is it that my default programming is to behave in a particular way? Why is my default programming to play video games? Why is my default programming to avoid certain situations, avoid certain groups of people? So I think avoidance is huge here, right? So I need willpower to overcome this avoidance. And we get distracted by dopamine. We get distracted by addiction. Oh, it's all dopamine in the brain. And sure, when we're talking about social media and video games, that's a huge part of it, okay? But the key thing to remember is that the programming that you have in your brain is most powerfully determined by your emotions. So we understand this in cases of something like PTSD, right? So what is PTSD? Let's understand this. Let's say I get bitten by a dog, okay? What happens? So when I get bitten by a dog, my amygdala, my survival center lights up, has a ton of blood flow there. I feel an immense amount of fear and anxiety. And what happens the next time I see a dog? How have I been programmed? The next time I see a dog, I feel fear. The fear reactivates. I'm not even being bitten. It is simply the exposure, me seeing a dog or even hearing a dog bark or smelling a dog. I walk over to my friend's place and I see that there's a bowl of dog food. And then suddenly my heart rate is my heart is pounding. I'm like, oh my God, I start sweating. I start getting scared. Like, what the fuck? Am I afraid of bowls of dog food now? Right. So I want y'all to appreciate the neuroscientific mechanism here, which is that when I experience a negative emotion, it changes my hippocampus and I learn from it. So the basic problem that most men have is that since we are numbing ourselves from our emotions are programming us in ways that are maladaptive. And then once I have all of this maladaptive programming of I'm avoiding this, I'm running away from that, I'm not motivated, then I try to use all of these compensatory mechanisms like willpower and habit and taking magnesium at night and using all these supplements. I'm trying to do all this stuff to overcome myself. So here's what I found as a psychiatrist. That is so hard. I've told you guys, I'm lazy. I'm still lazy. I've always been lazy. I will always be lazy. You don't need to work hard. You don't need to have willpower. I also have terrible habits. What I find is the most useful thing is to reprogram yourself. And once your default programming changes, then your life becomes way easier. Imagine for a moment that if you did not feel avoidance for asking someone out on a date, if you did not feel avoidance for asking for a promotion, right? If you didn't have those negative emotions, imagine how free your life would be. Discipline and willpower and habit to overcome yourself. Oh my God, it's so much work. I hate that crap. Instead, why don't you just change the way that you perceive the world? So easy. I know, it's crazy. It's not so easy, but I'm going to show y'all how. Does that make sense? Okay.
Hey, y'all, if you're interested in applying some of the principles that we share to actually create change in your life, check out Dr. K's Guide to Mental Health.
And so we start by understanding what literally is meditation. How does experience shape us as human beings? How do we strengthen the mind itself as an organ? And so by understanding our mind, we understand a very, very simple tool, a crucial tool that we have to learn how to use if we want to build the life that we want to.
So check out the link in the bio and start your journey today.
So this is the key thing. So when we experience a lot of negative emotion, it travels to it communicates with our hippocampus and it creates learnings. We come up with certain conclusions. And this is where if you look at people who are kind of red-pilled or black-pilled or incels or whatever, I'm just using those examples because they're philosophies and ideologies that hopefully here on the internet we're familiar with. I'm not saying they're right or wrong or whatever. I'm just saying like these people think in a particular way. And usually what I see, the number one thing that I see in people, in dudes who are red-pilled, is actually a history of a traumatic experience with women. That's the number one thing that makes people red-pilled. They have a negative emotional experience, which then they learn from. It's almost like a form of PTSD. It's not PTSD, but it uses the same trauma architecture. Negative experience followed by learning, followed by those learnings will then shape our behavior. So there are a couple of things that we have to understand. Emotional processing is when those emotions arise, we are not going to let them, without our knowledge, program us. That is literally what emotional processing is. It is when that emotion arises, we are going to metabolize that emotion and intentionally figure out how we're coding our brain. And the reason that this becomes so important for men is because we're not taught how to emotionally process. And since we're not taught how to emotionally process, we do not know how to program ourselves. And since we don't know how to program ourselves, this is why the podcast bros love habit, discipline, and willpower, right? I don't know if this makes sense, but we are so concerned about overcoming our instinctual desires, what feels natural to us. That's why we're habits, willpower, discipline, because we need to overcome the stuff that's down here. And why is that so important for men, right? Why are we the ones that are obsessed with this? Because if you know how to emotionally process, you don't need willpower, or, I mean, you still do on some level, but like, you need a lot less of it, right? So if I can alter the way that my emotional experiences program my brain, my need for willpower to overcome that programming goes way down. And that's what we want to teach y'all today. So the next thing that we need to understand is that when we numb our emotions, they don't go away. So there's this sort of idea that men will bottle up their emotions and then their emotions will explode. There must be some scientific quantifiable mechanism that explains this. So generally speaking, what happens when we experience a large amount of emotion and we numb it, it goes dormant. It does not disappear, right? And that's how we can bottle things up and eventually explode, because that presumes that, okay, I have 10 units of emotion down here and then I numb it and then like, man, feel emotion, man, drink alcohol, man, be hungover the next day. But then the next day that my ex texts me and is like, hey, I was wondering if you wanted to hang out sometime. And then all this rage arises, right? So then what happens is I have 10 units of emotion down here, and the next day I get 10 units of anger, and then it starts piling up. So even though I feel angry now, and then the anger goes away, like let's say 15 minutes later, 30 minutes later, the anger is gone. It's not really gone. It is dormant. And so the next day rolls around, I add more to it, I add more to it, and I add more to it. And this is how men sort of, their experiences seem to be like, I'm kind of like accruing too much emotion. I have certain coping mechanisms that I'm trying to keep it intact, but I'm sort of losing this war. Even though on any given day, I am winning the battle, over time, I'm losing the war with my emotions. So it starts out that I used to be an 18-year-old kid, and I was happy in life, and then this happened in college, and then life became a little bit harder, and then I got a little bit depressed, and I pushed through, I powered through, I got myself out of bed, I continued working hard, I went to my internship, and then I graduated from college, and then I started working, and then I got a little bit more depressed, and things became a little bit more harder, but then I started doing this, and then I started doing this, and the emotions just kind of pile up. And this is what's really insane, is that people will look at, like, you know, privileged, successful men who are suicidal. And they'll ask, well, how on earth can you be suicidal? You're a privileged man. You have so much going for you. You're successful. You have money. You know, society, it's a patriarchy. So you're like, good for you. And then this guy is suicidal. And that's because he's been accruing these emotions. And we're really good at suppressing them. We're really good at coping with them. We're really good at just shoving them way down and performing. So emotions pile up unless they are processed, okay? Second thing to understand, emotions are sources of information and emotions are sources of motivation. This is fundamentally why we have evolved emotions, right? So I want y'all to think about this for a second, appreciate this. There's a good chance that even things like Komodo dragons will experience fear and anxiety, right? Animals have amygdalas too. It's the survival center of the brain. These are really primitive emotions that exist for a reason. Let's say I'm a antelope. I'm a newborn antelope, and I go over to a watering hole and I start to drink water. And then a crocodile leaps out of the water. Doesn't leap. It swims to the surface. Its mouth opens up. It jumps back. Thankfully, I have instincts. So I jump back. Crocodile misses. And then I want you to imagine what happens in the antelope's brain. The antelope feels a huge amount of fear. Amygdala goes over to the hippocampus and is like, hey, we got to learn our lesson. And then in this case, in the case of the antelope has no reason to emotionally process because it wants that fear to have that learning. There's no like maladaptive complex social society where people make fun of the antelope because it's wearing these shoes instead of those shoes, or it got its hair cut in a particular way, or it has a silly mustache. There's none of that exists in the antelope society. So for the antelope, the amygdala causing it to learn is fantastic. In our complex society, things become a little bit trickier, not a little bit trickier, a lot trickier. So we have to understand one really important thing, and this is going to help us process emotions, is we have to understand that emotions are very quick ways of getting information. So our brain processes a ton of information that we are not aware of. Our brain is doing all kinds of calculations all the time that we're not consciously aware of. That's how the brain knows to remind you of things. So it's like you're sitting there and you're like driving home from work and you're like, oh crap, I had to get milk. If you think about how is that possible? You forgot to get milk and then somehow your brain is reminding you, oh, you need to get milk. So your brain is processing a ton of information and it will make us feel certain ways. The first step to processing an emotion is when you feel an emotion, instead of just reacting to it, trying to overcome it, trying to numb it, ask yourself one question, which is, what is this emotion trying to tell me? So I had a patient once who was on the verge of a breakup. So in a relationship, not the healthiest, their significant other had started maybe texting like other dudes, messaging guys. Some dude had slid into her Instagram DMs and he like wasn't quite sure. So he started to have all these negative emotions about it. And so then his experience of it was like, I have to overcome these emotions. Like, let me stop being a pussy, you know? I need to stop being a pussy. And like, eh. So he tried to push him down. But those emotions are telling you something. If you're in a healthy relationship and you start to feel a lot of weird emotions, it's not that those emotions are right. It's that those emotions are trying to tell you something. It is a primitive source of information. It is not truth by any means. But it is some source of information. So when you feel that emotion, you should ask yourself, what is this emotion trying to tell me? The second thing that emotions are really good at is motivation. So usually emotions will get us to do stuff. If I'm angry at my teammate for feeding in the game, I am motivated to tell them to uninstall the game and then I'm going to disconnect myself. Right? They create motivation. If I am afraid of looking like an idiot, it will motivate me to stay at home. If I am afraid of rejection, it will motivate me to not ask someone out on a date, not ask someone to hang out, whatever. So they're powerful sources of motivation. Now, here's the big mistake that people make. The problem with emotions is that they're not analytical. They're not intelligent. They don't use the reasoning parts of our brain. They just come up with certain ideas, and that's what we're going to do. A really good example of this is if you look at adrenaline, which is not an emotion, it's a hormone, right? Released by the adrenal cortices, triggered by things like anger, fear, and anxiety, also lust, excitement. It alters our brain chemistry and causes us to think in black and white terms. So when you get angry at someone, you're not doing a sophisticated philosophical analysis. You jump to a conclusion. And so what most people experience, I don't know if this makes sense, is when you have an emotion, you feel like doing something. And then your struggle is like to do that thing or not do that thing. So then you start engaging willpower. I don't want to give into the anger. I don't want to give into the anger. I don't want to give into the anger. I got to control myself. This is the wrong thing to do. I feel angry. So anytime we have an emotion, there is usually one thing that our brain wants us to do. And then we struggle with that. Instead, the right way to process an emotion is to ask yourself this first question. Okay, what is this emotion trying to tell me? And secondly, what is this emotion trying to get me to do? Now, here's the key thing. I don't know if this makes sense. There are other things that you can do. I start to feel uncomfortable because my girlfriend is on her phone. And when I walk in, she puts it away. Okay, so what is this fear? I mean, what is this emotion, right? So the first thing is when you feel uncomfortable to ask yourself, what is the emotion? So I'm a little bit afraid. I'm worried. I feel insecure. There are all of these emotions. And these emotions are telling me things, right? The worry is telling me, hey, pay attention, bro. And the worry is also going to think in black and white. I'm afraid she's cheating on me. So do y'all see how there's a certain jump from here to here? This is not necessarily true, but it's like a clue. It's like signaling something to you. And then here's the other tricky thing is since I have these two thoughts, I don't know if those are true or not, it motivates me to act. So what am I going to do? Drop an AirTag in her purse. Boom. Got to be sure. The bitch ain't cheating. Got to know. Look through her phone. So this is where, like, this is not actually emotional processing. This is just giving in to your emotions. This is letting your emotions control you, right? And then we're like, oh my God, I should not do this. This is bad. So then what I'm going to do is take willpower and I'm going to suppress this. And then I'm going to take alcohol and I'm going to suppress this, right? And this is like not like, do y'all see, like, hopefully I don't have to explain this. This is not a good solution. Like, this is terrible because she could be cheating on you, bro, right? And this is really funny. So McClues is trying to be funny. Solution, don't date. That's funny, except it's not. Except when I have these feelings, it's going to go to my hippocampus. I know you're trying to be funny. I love you guys. This is great. And then the solution is don't date. This is actually a really great example of another point that I forgot to mention. So when we don't process our emotions, we end up like what I'm about to show y'all, which is date and don't date. We end up conflicted. So there are a lot of dudes who struggle with follow through. And let's understand what follow through actually is. It's going to blow your mind. So people are like, oh, I struggle with follow through. I'm going to listen to Podcast Bro. I'm going to get disciplined. That's not how you fix follow through. I'm going to show you all a cool trick about what follow through really is. So let's say I have this experience and I've decided to not date, okay? Because don't date means that I am moving away from rejection. I'm moving away from betrayal. So on one end, I have rejection, and on one end, I have betrayal. Okay, so this is one end. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move away from these things by don't date. But then I have a problem, because if I don't date, I feel lonely. I feel isolated. I feel jealous. I feel horny. And so what do I do to get away from these things? I date. Running away from those emotions. I'm tired of being lonely. I'm tired of being isolated. And then when I date, what happens? I get taken advantage of. It sucks. It hurts. There's all these dormant emotions. So now that I've been cheated on once, the next time, since I haven't processed those emotions, oh my God, I have all of this fear and anger and resentment that is piled up. And I'm on my third date with someone and they're texting someone and they laugh. And then I ask them, hey, are you dating other people? And they're like, yeah, aren't you dating other people? Like, we've been on three dates. Do you want to have the conversation about being exclusive? I'm happy to talk about it. But the moment that they say, yes, they're dating other people, and they're like, hey, do you want to have a conversation to talk about it? No, no, no. All this dormant emotion comes erupting out. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm out. I'm done. Y'all see that? It's like not technically a betrayal, but it sure as hell feels like a rejection. And then you've run away from that emotion. Now you're like, oh, fuck, man. Don't date ever again. So here's what happens. Here's why follow through is really hard. Because here I am in the middle, okay? And if I'm in the middle and I move towards don't date, then isolation arises. This negative emotion arises. So the more that I move in one direction, the more the isolation goes up. So then instead of sticking with it, because then I feel more isolated and more lonely, I'm going to move this way towards date. And the more I move in this direction, rejection, fear, betrayal arises. So now these go up. And so then I go over here. So following through doesn't work. The reason we don't follow through is because as we move in a direction, our emotional pain actually increases. So we run away from that because that's what you're supposed to do. It's not like it's common sense, right? This isn't dumb or stupid or any weakness or low willpower. If there's betrayal, rejection, and fear in a particular direction, we're going to move away from that direction. And if there's isolation and loneliness in a particular direction, we're going to move away from that direction, right? And the problem here is that we're not processing emotions. We're not managing those emotions in the right way. If you struggle with follow through, if you struggle with overcoming your programming, emotional processing is the answer. So let's talk about what emotional processing is. So remember that when we feel emotion, man, feel emotion, man, no like emotion, feeling hurt, bad, no like feel bad. So we numb. And when we numb it, it piles up. And then something else happens and we pile it up. Something else happens and we pile it up. The time that I felt this the most is when I was failing out of college playing video games. I would have more shame. I was like failing one class and I was like, well, fuck it. If I'm failing one class, That's the first F. I feel ashamed. I feel ashamed. How did I manage that shame? By playing more video games, by skipping more classes. So it piles up and piles up and piles up. So now the question is, how do we prevent it from piling up? And the answer is emotional processing. Emotional processing is what allows us to experience emotions without letting them pile up. And remember that as these things pile up, this is creating learning. This is creating programming, right? And this learning and programming is then going to be what we have to overcome with willpower later. So this is the cycle. How do you make your life easy? So my goal as a psychiatrist for myself and for my patients is not to make them happy, not to make them successful, not to do any of that stuff. It's to make their life easy. It's to make their life free. It is to make their life unburdened. It doesn't have to be so hard. That's why I learn things the way that I learn them. I want to understand all of these mechanisms so that I can know how it works. And if I can teach people how it works, their life can be easy because you know what's going on under the hood. So how do you do that? Emotional processing. Step number one, what is emotion trying to tell you? And acknowledge that. So notice what's happening. You're paying attention to the emotion. You're leaning into it. You're engaging with it. You are not numbing it. You're not adding it over here. You're actually telling it, hey, come out. Come out of there. Let it out. Like, let's see. Like, what is it, boy? What is it, Timmy? Is Timmy stuck in the well? What is it, Lassie? Is Timmy stuck in the well? What is it, Lassie? Why are you barking? Talk to it. Let it out. What is this emotion telling me? What is it that I'm afraid of? What is this that I'm feeling? I feel uncomfortable. Why do I feel uncomfortable? What is this discomfort telling me? Really important. Very vital information that your brain, millions of years of evolution, have evolved to give you this sixth sense. Do you guys understand how awesome emotions are? They're like fucking being psychic. It is that you can make all of these cognitive, analytical calculations, or you can have some psychic part of your brain that's like, hey, bro, these people are not to be trusted. And they're like, yeah, hey, you should come. We have this awesome thing. You can come to our hotel for a weekend. We'll pay for your flights. We'll pay. And we've got this. All you have to do is sit through this one presentation. Everything is going to be free. It's going to be comped. We're going to give you the best room. It's all free. All you got to do is sit through these presentations while you're here. And it's like, wow, analytically, that's amazing. Oh my God, we get a free stay at this luxury hotel? What is it telling you? And then you have this psychic in this back part of your brain, in the amygdala, deep in your brain, that's like, no, do not trust Alok. There is a trick, right? So listen to it. Second thing, what is it motivating me to do? Okay. And as you ask yourself, it's not, and this is the mistake that a lot of people make, is that they try to just overcome or give into the emotion. So I'll give you all an example. So I had a patient who had a relationship that was on the verge of a breakup. I mentioned a little bit earlier. So they came to me and they're like, Dr. K, I don't know if I should break up with her or not, right? It's like, I don't know if I should give in or do I not give in? Do I give in or do I not give in? It's like binary. It's black or white thinking. That's what adrenaline does. That's what the amygdala does. But the whole point is that life is shades of gray. There are all kinds of options. It's not do or don't do. There's all kinds of stuff in the middle. So they end up with breaking up with their girlfriend. Girlfriend then texts them about 2 weeks later and they're like, hey, I've really been thinking a lot about it. I'm so sorry for that I hurt you and you deserve better. And I've really grown and like, give us another chance. We had so much, we had so many great times and there's like, you know, a lot of potential for our relationship. And then this poor guy is conflicted, right? We talked about this. So now there's like, there's all kinds of emotions. There's like love and then there's anger. There's like betrayal and then there's like security. So this poor fucking guy is like ping-ponging between these two. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I do it? Should I not do it? Right? So we're like, okay, what are all of these emotions telling you? What is the love telling you? What is the security telling you? Love is telling me that, hey, there was something really good here. The anger is telling me like, hey, this person has some really toxic habits. The feeling of betrayal is telling me that this person doesn't really care about me. It's giving me all of this information. So they decided to give it another shot. Okay? But instead of just saying yes, we sit down and we work through all of these emotions and we figure out what this person is feeling. And it wasn't just taking them back. It was like a high EQ version of taking them back. It was articulating a lot of stuff. It was like, look, the stuff that you did was very hurtful to me. I value our relationship for reasons A, B, and C. Here are the things that I do not like, and I'm happy to give this a shot. But if these things that my negative emotions are worried about, if these things don't get better, because it's giving you a lot of information, right? If these things don't get better, then I'm not interested. We're not going back to where we were. We're actually starting over. This is a new relationship. There's been a certain amount of hurt and betrayal. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of good stuff going on here, but there has been hurt or betrayal. So I'm willing to give this another shot. 2 weeks go by. So first week, she's on her best behavior. He comes in next week and I'm like, you know, how's the relationship going? And he's like, he's being super nice. And then I ask him, how does that make you feel? And he's like, it doesn't make me feel good. And this is where, I don't know if this makes sense, but if y'all have taken back an ex and you really shouldn't have, and they're being extra nice, there's this voice in the back of your head that's like, hey, this feels fake. This feels forced. But now you've said yes. Not a conditional yes, not a yes, but. And so then now you're conflicted between guilt because you said yes and you want to give it a shot, and this warning sign that you have in the back of your head, and you're ping-ponging again. Not emotional processing. So we're listening to that voice. Week two rolls around. She starts engaging in some of these bad behaviors that are a little bit disrespectful. So he just fucking breaks it off. There's no conflict. He feels assured of himself. And he's like, hey, you know what? I don't think this is a good idea. She gets really upset and he is fucking steel, son. She starts to cry. He actually doesn't even feel guilty because he felt that guilt. He worked through it. He starts to feel the guilt a little bit. And he's like, what is it? Oh, this is a dormant guilt. This is a guilt from the past. This relationship is not good for me. And then he has follow through because he's worked with his emotions. They're no longer enemies. Even the anxiety when it comes up is not a problem. He's not trying to numb it. He's like, oh, the anxiety is telling me something. So the coolest thing, the fucking coolest thing is when you do this, the hippocampus, the learning. So he is absolutely learning from this experience. But instead of that learning being automatic, instead of that learning being subconscious, instead of that learning being the result of the amygdala, which he is numbing, but is just over here doing its own thing, creating whatever learnings it wants, inducing some degree of PTSD that is going to cause this guy problems down in the future. He has worked with these emotions. He has felt these things. And he is learning self-respect. He is learning how to trust his emotions. He's learning how to say, you know what? And it's not even, she's like, oh, please take me back. Give me another chance. And he's like, you know, we had something great. And he's like, you know what? I don't want to. I'm not interested in a relationship with you. I'm not saying you're good. I'm not saying you're bad. Look, you're going through your shit. I'm going through my shit. I'm just not interested in a relationship with you. Those are the words that he used. And that's why I remember the story. I was like, fuck yeah, man. Right? So he's centered. The follow through becomes easy. It's just, I'm not interested in a relationship with you. It's not that you're good. It's not that you're bad. And she's like, oh my God, give us another chance. And it's like, no, I mean, there's no guilt there. So all of those stored emotions have been worked through. They've been acknowledged. They've been accepted. And honestly, it's not that simple. It's a little more complicated. But the real crux of it is if you numb it, it goes dormant. It piles up and it programs you. So bringing it to the surface, engaging it, asking it what it's trying to tell you, understanding what it's trying to motivate you to do. And it's not about listening to that solution, right? So let emotions clue you into the problem. And once you understand what the problem is, use the higher order functions of our brain, our cerebral cortices, our analytical reasoning, to come up with alternative answers to that problem. And those are the problems that you should, those are the solutions that you should use, right? Not the default solution, not the instinctive solution, not the emotional solution. And the cool thing is that as you acknowledge these emotions, as you make them become undormant, then these are like your dogs, right? Like, oh my God, is Timmy stuck in the will? Yeah, well, and then as his ex starts to create all kinds of problems, she starts crying, she starts texting his friends, like he is fucking solid. Then the anger comes out, right? But then he's got a good relationship. So it's like, let the anger come. Let this dog protect me. Anger's not a bad thing. And then since he's worked through it, it doesn't go too far. And he's like, hey, this is completely out of line. So he sends a text to all of his friends. He's like, hey, thank you guys very much for, you know, being concerned about me and stuff like this and sort of saying we had something great together. Truth is, she cheated on me And I haven't really said that, but that's the reason that I'm not interested in a relationship with her. Then she gets pissed at him because, you know, he said he sort of spilled the beans and she's like, you're ruining this. And he's like, look, you know what? I'm just not interested in a relationship with you. You mentioned this crap and you brought these people in. That's the end of it. And then he doesn't walk out of that scarred. If anything, he walks out of that more centered, more aware of what he wants. More like now he knows what he's looking for, right? So I think this is the most fundamental skill that most men need to learn. And a lot of women can benefit from more explicit emotional processing. It's just the way that we're socialized, we're taught to numb these emotions. And once we numb them, they start to run haywire in our brain and create all kinds of weird ideas and views and stuff like that. We don't need any of that. Make sense? So practical tips, please, on how to work out emotions. These are the two things. There is more to it, but this is the way to start. So what I was trying to do today is explain the basic concept and the first two tools, which is ask the emotion what the information is and ask it what it's motivating you to do. Now, here's the thing that confuses people. This honestly will get you 50% of the way there, maybe even more. So simply the lack of suppressing your emotions prevents them from building up, prevents them from automatically programming you. And even when we do psychotherapy, so sometimes, you know, when we do interviews and stuff on this channel, which we've done less of, I think we'll start doing more of those again. We did one, hopefully that'll see the light of day soon. You know, you'll notice that there are moments where people have this like breakthrough, right? Where there's this upwelling of negative emotion. They'll start crying and we'll have this like moment, right? And so the cool thing is that is processing. So simply coexisting with the emotion without suppressing it, engages this really cool thing where then the amygdala will go to homeostasis. It'll actually stop the emotion on its own without it programming you. So what we find for healing in something like trauma is once the emotion comes to the surface and we stop running away from it, that in and of itself will reprogram, will deprogram. That's actually sufficient. You don't have to like lay it down in a particular way. If you do it the way that I said, it'll help some, but actually just bringing it up to the surface is sufficient. So if y'all remember, I started this story of this patient who would come to my office and would you know, basically talk about how he was sad all the time, but he would just talk about how he was sad. So he did something that was really interesting. He had this habitual way of talking about being sad. He would not feel sad and cry in the therapy room. And I did not have the expertise to figure out, okay, this is basically like a script. It's a protective script against the emotions that are underneath. And the emotions that were underneath were anger and rage. So we started talking about that. What does it feel like to be fucking disrespected by your family? He also had this toxic relationship with a woman who was divorced and had a couple of kids. And so he started dating this woman and he was just totally into this woman. And she was great and he loved her. I mean, he didn't love her, but he was infatuated with her. And part of what he liked about dating this woman, just to give you all a quick insight into this, when he was with her, he was living the life that he always wanted to live. So she made actually a fair amount of money. They would go eat at nice restaurants. They would go stay in hotels. She had three kids and he would hang out with their kids. He started forming a relationship with her kids in a very positive way. He always wanted kids. And so on Christmas Day, he goes to her house to drop off gifts for all three of her kids. It's snowing. This is in Boston. Goes to her house to drop off gifts. She opens the door. He says, hey, I brought gifts for your kids. She takes the gifts. One of the kids sees him and runs out and gives him a hug. And she's like excited that he's here. So this woman that he's dating gives the gifts to her daughter and says, can you go put them under the tree? And when the daughter goes to put them under the tree, she says, thanks for coming, and closes the fucking door in his face. That's what we talk about in therapy. The anger and rage of the guy was literally left out in the cold. Drives 45 minutes to her house to drop off kids, doesn't even get invited in. And that's the way that she treated him. But man, when she was with him, it was great. And anyway, that was also where I learned that the most toxic relationships are toxic, not because they're bad. The most toxic relationships are 100% perfect 50% of the time. And that's why people stay in toxic relationships, because you never know which one you're going to get. And everything that he wants is on the other side of that door. And half of the days she invites him in, and half of the days she doesn't. So the psychotherapy and the breakthrough is not about sadness, not about depression, not about, it's all about anger, which thankfully Sigmund Freud taught us many years ago when he said, depression is anger turned against the self. Emotions, let them out. Ask yourself, what is this trying to tell me? What is it trying to get me to do? Man, I love being a psychiatrist. This is fucking awesome. I love this stuff.
Hey, y'all. Hope you enjoyed today's video. We talk about a bunch of topics like this on the channel, so be sure to subscribe for more. If you're already subscribed, GG, and we'll see you in chat.